I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Frank Film Club, the film club where anything goes and everyone's welcome. Take one. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Frank Film Club, your new favourite podcast where anything goes and everyone's welcome. Today is a very special episode because myself, Lowry and Hannah are all in the same room. This week, we decided to chat about Zola, which was picked by me. The movie came out in 2020 and was written by Janeza Bravo and Jeremy O'Harris. It was directed by Janeza and is based on a news article by David Kushner called Zola Tells All, the real story behind the greatest stripper saga ever tweeted. And it's also based on the tweets which Azia Zola King tweeted from her wild night out in Tampa, Florida. So, everyone, what did you think?
So I went into the film not knowing anything about it at all. As I was watching the film, I was like, this is ringing a bell. And I remember seeing the thread of tweets, which was like years and years ago, but I didn't actually read them all because lazy. but it was just very interesting to know that that came from that source material. Apart from that, I loved all of the stylistic choices and I thought it was a good time. But I also... There were parts in there where I was like, okay.
More on that next.
I actually watched this film in the cinema with Maisie, showing at Sundance London. I hadn't seen the tweets and didn't know anything about it. And I really love this film. I think it holds your attention the whole way through and just keeps you on your toes. It's just like a very quick paced film because of the editing style and the music and the story in general, and the acting's amazing. And yeah, I love it.
So one of the first things that I wanted to chat about, which was what I sort of spoke with Lowry about when we first watched it, and I want to know what you think, Hannah, because you did remember it that was based on the tweets. But what I thought was really interesting is because it's Zola's recounting of this tale, she's observing everything and you see her reactions to a lot of the things that's happening, but in terms of like her character development and knowing a lot about her, you really don't get to. What did you think?
Yeah, she does seem like an observer in all of it, and that's something that I really loved about it, though, was her tone. How she's just like, and when I read about the tweets before, it was that it was just so blunt and like sarcastic and funny, and I feel like she was that. She was observing what was going on and just like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm so fed up with this. There's none of that really, is there? Like, character development, and you don't know anything about any of them.
No. I'd say the person that we know the most about by the end is Stephanie. And with Zola, you only really know her ethics by the end of it. And
yeah,
that's about it, which is mad because the film is called Zola.
Mm-hmm. Zola, real Zola, has praised Riley Keough's performance as Stephanie because she said that she was exactly like that. The film was really criticised because Riley's character, she is doing what people call like a black scent, and she is being a stereotypical black woman, and people were kind of very confused by that. But Janeza basically had chatted with Zola and they were like, this is the right direction for this character and it does need to be hugely problematic, and Zola has spoken out about it and been like, this is exactly, you know, who she was. So I think it was brave and it was bold, and yeah, hugely problematic.
Well, that was the point where it all goes, like, it's all fun, and you're like, wow, they found, like, friendship soulmates. And it's when Stephanie's in the front and she starts talking about that girl mm-hmm. and, yeah, not
yeah.
being... Yes. and that's the point where you see Zola and she's like, what the f***?
Yeah.
And what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So at the time when these tweets came out in 2015, a lot of the articles surrounding them were basically questioning the validity of Zola's story rather than diving into the fact that this like girl basically... low-key abducted her and like wanted to get her into sex trafficking, and she was like not okay with it because she just danced. And so at the time that was sort of, you know, what the kind of verdict was. What Geniza really wanted to do, which kind of plays into Riley's character, was make her, well, just to show that she's not a good person. And I think like straight up, like when they're out of the diner and they're on their journey, like giving her that kind of persona definitely made her hugely unlikable.
Yeah. And I actually think that her character she's actually very entertaining to watch. She is very problematic, but the fact that that was the point, that you have to have problematic characters to be able to talk about problematic things, as long as you're not like saying that they're a good person, and they're definitely not in this film. Like, she is the what's the word,
antagonist? No,
yeah,
kind of
like the villain. Sorry, I'm just going for like a way simpler.
She's the villain. Am I the villain?
But like, she is like the villain in the film. And so I think that's good to show that that's not okay.
They're all problematic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
Every
true.
Every single one of them is problematic. Like, yeah. That's the point.
So about halfway through the film, you jump into sort of Stephanie's character, and she recounts like some of the key story points that we've done so far. But she like makes out that she's like a good Christian girl. She never heard of stripping or dancing, and she was like with her like co-worker, or I don't know, she was with someone, and tried to basically say like Zola is like an awful person.
Jealous bitch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. They all liked me. Yeah. What do you think of Stephanie's side of this story? And just, yeah, how charged, racially charged it was.
So when that part comes up, and then it comes up with her name, like she's telling her part of the story, there's like a series. I thought that the film was going to change quite dramatically, because yeah. there's a series in there of things. You see that, and it's her recounting, and it is all about like blame and, you know, all of that stuff. And then they're in the car, they're driving, and there's someone getting pulled over by the police, and you don't see who it is, but they're saying, I'm just trying to get home. And then it cuts to them walking to the hotel, and it's like white people dancing to Steel Drums. Mm-hmm. So it's like those three things in a row.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to go like down a different direction, and then it just went back to yeah. like the, not fun time, but like the... Yeah. crazy chaos of yeah. the evening.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm glad that it does go back to that. Because as much as when it went to Stephanie's point of view, that was very entertaining. It was quite, I mean, it's funny. Like when she's saying it, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, but then, yeah, I was still glad that it did go. I mean, thinking about it now, I don't know that it does. Does it then go to either point of view, or does it then go to like a neutral telling of the story? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does still follow the tweets quite heavily after that point,
right?
So yeah,
so it goes back to Zola.
I would say so. Yeah.
In
so every time in the movie you hear a tweet sound, that is like a direct quote from her Twitter thread. And I thought that it was really cute. And the first time I heard it, it was so random, and it like sort of took me out of it, but like not on the same like plane of concentration. But there was like a part of it that I was like, what is happening? And it was just like constantly bringing me back to the fact that this is based on like a real girl and her tweets. Did you really notice that?
I mean, I didn't know the tweets, so I didn't know, but I thought that it was just all part of like the score and soundtrack of this film and sound design in general, I think is so good because it's kind of magical, and it's, but it's also like really modern because you hear all of these phone sounds and, but yeah, like it's kind of like twinkly and a little bit surreal at times. So I only picked up on that, but I wouldn't have known that those were the tweets. But then rewatching it, knowing that, I was like, ah, no way.
I kept checking my phone.
No one.
So actually, last question for you girls. What was it like in the cinema? Because I watched it. I watched it on my laptop, which is a shame. So was it good?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good.
The Hannah Montana sequence, yeah, where they're singing in the car and they have the like GoPro that they're passing around, like in the cinema. It was like, I don't know, it just like felt like a party.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good to see in the cinema. And also the audience reaction was good. Like, there was a lot of people laughing. There was also one guy next to us. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And he, you know when the, what's Stephanie's boyfriend called? Really tall one.
He's called Baby. Derek.
So, oh yeah. So when Derek, like, runs off the balcony and, like, jumps off the balcony, like, it is funny. It's also like pretty horrific.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Yeah, and like horrible because he's obviously like really upset, even though it is done in like a funny way. But this guy next to us did this like horrific laugh.
It was way too
much. It was too much.
We were like, I don't know if that's funny.
So yeah, but it was good seeing hearing the audience's response throughout.
Yeah.
But you mentioning that like entertainment, like, attempted suicide is fun in this context. It's also like, we're talking about trafficking, like that's really,
I know,
serious.
Yeah.
And like that situation that she was in,
that's the thing. I feel like that guy who laughed out loud like massively was not getting what the film is about. Like, yes, it's funny, but it's actually not.
Yeah. Zola was 19 years old when she tweeted this.
Oh my god.
That's crazy, isn't it? I think what I learned the most was that whenever you hear about sex trafficking, you hear about someone being bundled into the back of a car and they're never seen again, which is a part of it. But it's like so much more, like not casual, but it can happen like that where, you know, you cross paths with someone and it's all great. And then before you know it, it's all got out of hand or whatever. And like Zola is very clear that she didn't want to do that. And she's also the whole way through, like, whatever you've got to do, like, do it yourself. But it's that kind of like, it's just like setting people up, like that thing where you think you've got friends in it and you think you've got friends in the sex industry. And then it just, that's the, yeah, I learned a lot, I think. Mm. I really could, yeah, understand it a bit better. So it's interesting you guys spoke about the sound design and the music, because this was actually scored by someone who we really like. And I wonder if you know what film they've done that we've liked from before.
I do.
You do know?
Yeah. Monos.
Yeah. Mika Levy did the score for Monos, and they also did the score for this. And Under the Skin.
With Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Very, very talented person, and I feel like just like cannot pin down their style because they just seem to do everything.
Depends what the project is.
Yeah, exactly. So tailored to it. We did actually hear Janiza speak about this in particular, and Zola is like this sound gong
as well.
Yeah, Janiza basically like had done like some meditation, and then she said like, I feel like Zola whenever she's near. And you actually only hear it a couple of times, but one of them is when Zola threatens to leave and says like, this is it, I'm out, when they're in the hotel room, as Riley's character marches over and goes, Zola, wait, you hear the gong, like the gong noise of like Zola's like theme or whatever, which I just thought was really cool the second watch.
Cool. I love the harps as well at the beginning. I can't remember what Monos...
Well, there was no score until we were in the jungle, and then it was drums and we were like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Also great film. Who was that woman?
Don't know.
That leads...
Wait, oh, isn't it? It's I do my hair,
no,
my nails.
It's Lizzo.
It's Lizzo.
No, it's not.
Oh, no, Lizzo's in the other one. Hustler.
Yeah.
Just when you said that you recognized her, I was like, I know Liz isn't one of these. No.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lizzo.
Now it's time for In the Club.
Now it's time for In the Club, a new feature on the podcast where we hear from you, our Frank Film Club members. Before our recordings, we'll be asking you on our Instagram page to reach out and share your thoughts and ask your burning questions. So if you want to get involved in the next episode, then go and follow at Frank Film Club now and keep an eye out for our call outs and you could hear your own question come up. So this week we're chatting about Zola and we have a great question from RueCreate_IronClosets. And they ask, it was so intriguing, but I felt a bit empty at the end. I don't know. I wanted more. What about you guys?
I agree a bit, you know. I think the ending is from the point where they get back to the house and the boyfriend jumps over the balcony and then she's in the car and she's... It doesn't really tie it up in a way that is satisfactory that you might get from another film which doesn't come from this type of source material. So do you know what I mean? Because there's no ending to that tweet. It's like a series of events that happen. Well, that's the chunk of the story. So it doesn't really end. And I do somewhat agree that the end is... I do want to know more about her home life. Like, what does she do when she goes home? Is she always a stripper? That's quite ambiguous. Like, she's working in a restaurant when they meet, and then she goes on this adventure with her. But how often is she a stripper? I just wanted to know more about the life that she goes back to after this weird affair.
Yeah. I know when I watched it both times, I definitely didn't feel empty. I felt very hyped after watching the whole thing. But then when you're saying that, and I actually do think about the ending, I know what you mean. I am a bit like, oh yeah, that was a bit of a... They did just kind of stop and you're like, okay, that was that. But then also that is the kind of the point of the film. It's just like, that happened and that was fucking weird.
Well, I think it's just like goes to show how good Taylor Page's characterization is, because you just want to know more about her. That's how I felt.
It kind of does highlight that real life is always just like more bizarre than fiction.
Yeah.
Like, it just ends with someone throwing themselves off a balcony and them all just getting in the car going home. Like, if you wrote that as a fictional film, people would be like, yeah, I'm just not really sure about it. But like, that's actually what happened. Anyway, great question.
Foundation FM has asked, do you think this is the beginning of a trend taking viral stories and making them?
Well, the source material thing being a different asset or place to get source material is interesting, because obviously loads of podcasts are being made into TV series and films and stuff. So that's interesting. Do you know, actually, very relevant, because I've been watching it recently. Have any of you watched Dope Sick?
No, I haven't even heard of that.
No.
So it's based on a podcast, and Dope Sick's got this similar thing to, you know, Spotlight, the one best film at Oscars a few years ago. This is because they're based on facts. These films and these TV series are based on actual facts. There's so much information that's being crammed into what you're watching that sometimes it becomes less about the entertainment factor. So I feel like there's like a weird balance. Like with this film, we're talking about how mad it is, and they stuck to the tweets, and that's what the story they had to tell, which then might leave the audience not feeling satisfied at the end of the viewing experience. Well, I find that I get that with like stuff that's been based on podcasts. Entertainment value versus like the facts is something that has to be weighed up. But I do think it's a trend that's going to continue, so that we can keep making original stories. And it's tried and tested as well. Like, you know, that podcast is popular. The twists and turns of the story keep people hooked to listen again and again. The tweet was like shared so widely. People are going to, yeah, want to watch it.
I feel like with this one, like, it was written so well by Zola originally that, like, she herself, like, wrote this movie, you know, and, like, the way that she writes is so entertaining that it could be both. It could be both, like, factual and, like, she's just got a sense of humour about the way that she saw it, you know. But, yeah, I feel like, from my perspective, my agents are always like, anything, news article, tweets, you see a funny Instagram picture, anything, we can make it into a movie. And, like, the pressure is just so much. I'm like, is this good? I don't know. Like, movies like this have both, like, shaken up and, like, just to change the industry.
So David Kukarjan has just simply said, Coleman Domingo's performance was on a whole other level. Agreed. The man's got range.
Yeah, that's true. Range is a good word. You know, when he goes into that like Nigerian accent, well, there's a couple of people that I know in the industry that are Nigerian, and I was speaking to them about the film, and they were really not a fan of that.
So was he slipping into it when there were moments of like anger? Yeah. And right, yeah. Yeah. I can see why that would be.
Yeah. They were like very not. They were like, love the whole film except for that. That was like, no.
Did you think that like that was his real accent, or that was something that it was his fake accent? Like, in terms of the actual like character, like thinking of him as a character now.
I don't think that was his real accent, more just like something that he slips into when he's in his. I don't know. What did you have any thoughts on it?
I'm very interested in. Somebody who should have an opinion on that and their thoughts around it.
Yeah.
I can understand why that would be. That accent comes out in a certain mood or tone that is not great. So why is that only coming out then? But then if he's speaking to his mother like it as well, I don't know. I don't know.
That's the thing. That's why I think it would be a good conversation to have with like Joy or whoever. I was just intrigued by that opinion because I hadn't thought about it that much.
I thought that detail was mentioned in the tweets, but I actually can't concretely remember that or not.
So. Okay, so if it was just like fact.
Yeah, I always watched it as like him just trying to scare Zola, but maybe that used as a tactic with someone using like an authentic accent is actually just like really damaging. And even if that is what happened, like, probably isn't something that you want to put on, like, a platform, maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I would love to chat with her more about that.
Yeah.
So I actually just wanted to ask, out of curiosity, like, what were some of your standout characters or performances in this? Because there's just so many great ones, and I just feel like it'd be a good chance to shout them out.
I think Taylor Page is amazing in this film. She's so pissed off,
yeah,
without saying anything.
So when Taylor Page and Riley Keough meet, their relationship at that point, and they're just like hitting it off straight away, that's incredible and like so much fun to watch. And then when it switches so suddenly, and then from that she's just like really pissed off. And yeah, I think just like seeing both of those two sides of Zola are really cool. Because like we've been saying before, like, we don't actually find out that much about her as a character, but you do see multiple sides of her.
I just going back to that first question that we had, I would just love to see more of those two together. It is amazing when they first meet there in the restaurant. It's amazing. Incredible.
But then I guess that's also the point, is that like, that was the time that they spent together. There was no more time of them two spent together, I'm presuming, after all that happened. And that was it.
you're so hooked on that and you so want the film to go back to that and the story to be that. And that's like, what, like, that was the point. I feel like Zola was like, this was so good. Like, how did it get so bad? Like, I actually really liked you. I thought that you were cool. And you kind of feel like that in the whole film. Like, when is it going to, like, not be so difficult?
Yeah, exactly. You know when they go to the hotel room and then there's that really horrible montage of all the men coming in, you do sort of think, okay, they're going to team up. They're going to, like, in a really horrible way, have this, like, female friendship, like, romance thing going on. It's going to come back, but it just doesn't. And you do want it to.
I think I do enjoy that Zola, because obviously she does help her, but not because they're going to be friends. It's more because she, like, respects women. And I like that she's like, okay, I don't like you, but I don't want you to be completely taken advantage of, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Final thoughts. It's clearly a film that's got a really rich backstory, and just like the making of, etc., is just so interesting. And I think every ounce of that kind of goes on screen. And yeah, it's such an insightful film and visually incredible.
Yeah, agree. I think it is for an indie film, it's like quite commercial, but in like a really good way. It's very gripping and talks about really good subject matters. Yeah. I feel like I just would really like to make a film like this.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I really love the film. I think the tone is very interesting for the subject matter, and I've never seen anything like this before. And when I watched it for the first time and only time, I thought, I'm really glad I watched that. I probably won't watch it again. But now that we've discussed it, I feel like I want to watch it again. It's just a fun time that I thought I would leave in the past, but I might want to revisit. Mm-hmm. Also, like this, you know, I've just got a real thing for... I like films and stories about strippers and the sex industry.
All right.
I just think it's such an interesting world.
Yeah, it is.
That I want to know more about.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Next week, it is Christmas week. So we're going to be watching a Christmas film called Tangerine, which... isn't really much of a Christmas film, but it is set on Christmas Eve, so that's our Christmas film. It was directed by Sean Baker and released in 2015, and is about two women as they basically run the streets of LA whilst looking for one of the women's boyfriend / pimp, because he's been cheating on her while she was in jail. It's a really good film. It's really good fun to watch. The story behind it is incredible too, so I really recommend watching it. You can watch it on Amazon Prime in the UK for free, I believe. So give it a watch. Hope you enjoy, and see you next week. Bye.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.